The American experiment, incomplete as it is in its evolution, is the greatest example of the possibility of balancing these two competing impulses. We ebb and flow decade after decade as the better minds among us seek to define the playing field of American success. And we are engaging in this debate, as best we can, under the principles of true representative government. This leads me, perhaps surprisingly, to my innate distrust of the ornaments of power, because even an earned skepticism has its limits. If one has a sense of history and cares for the place of the United States of America as a unique, enduring model of the benefits of democracy, no amount of cynicism can diminish the largeness and even the greatness that surrounds you when you walk the hallways and enter the chambers of the Capitol. The Capitol, quite frankly, humbles me. And for me, it is a particular privilege to walk unescorted and unchallenged along its corridors. Still walking, I reach the far end of the tunnel and ride an escalator up a floor, reaching the basement of the Capitol. From there, I join several colleagues as we take one of the senators-only elevators to the second floor. Almost as in a movie, I step from the solitude of the elevator into a scene of instant chaos. Dozens of senators have been exiting the four elevators that open at this narrow corridor. They must now pass through a thick crowd of journalists who have interposed themselves along the corridor, which leads to the doorways of the Senate chamber. The doorway nearest the elevator opens into the Republican side of the Senate. I take a left turn in front of these doors, choosing not to enter them today, and walk along a side corridor that parallels the chamber, heading toward the Democratic side. History surrounds me here. Those who have gone before us have left their mark, both visibly and spiritually. Their images are made more poignant by the whispered voices and the echoing footsteps of others who are walking nearby in the hallway, reminding me that this is hallowed ground. All of these feelings are accentuated when I enter the Senate chamber. Conceived and built by ingenious leaders, we are merely its latest set of temporary occupants, charged with the stewardship of our nation's standards and its continuity. The Senate floor is and always has been the great arena of our democracy. I spent 8 years in my younger life as a boxer, and sometimes when I enter the chamber, I think, this is the ring. The American people can see us here and listen to our arguments. This is where the fights matter. I reach the entrance near the Democratic cloakroom, climbing two steps and heading toward a different set of double doors. They swing open as I near them, each door manned by a smiling blue-suited page. I walk along a lush, royal blue carpet past the rows of highly polished old-school desks, stepping down from one wide platform to another until I'm in the well where I will cast my vote. The Senate floor is alive now, dozens of senators milling about, buzzing with conversations. At the row of desks just below the presiding officer, off to his left, the roll clerk is calling the names, asking for the yeas and nays. On the Democratic side, just in front of the majority leader's desk, two cloakroom aides sit behind one table tallying votes. On the table are a summary of the amendment being voted on, a copy of the amendment itself, and a note giving the leadership's recommendation on the vote. A similar table sits just in front of the Republican leader's desk, providing their own aides and summaries. I look around at my fellow senators, part of me again wondering at the unplanned personal journey that brought me here, and part of me surprised at how comfortable I've become in their midst. And I have no problem saying without hesitation that almost all of them have impressed me with their love of this country and with their sincere desire to preserve its greatness. That doesn't mean that we are a big, happy family. Some of us believe that we were sent here to fix problems, and others believe that those who have come here to fix problems, at least the issues that we define as problems, are in fact the problem. So behind all the smiles and backslaps and beyond the necessary courtesies that lend dignity to what otherwise would be a vulgar brawl is the reality that in this room, right at this moment, are some of the shrewdest and most cunning creatures on earth. One might disagree with their priorities. Some might opine about which lobbyists and special interest groups maintain a measure of influence over their political conduct. Every now and then, one of them suffers the misfortune of having their personal life spill over into the public consciousness, causing untold embarrassment. But at bottom, these are people who have taken risks, exposed themselves to the public eye, and paid a certain price to reach the Senate floor. And one should never underestimate either their determination on matters that are important to them or their mental toughness. This is one of the great reasons for the elaborate courtesies that prevail on the Senate floor and for the careful respect that is shown even to those with whom you adamantly disagree or even secretly dislike. There is always a tomorrow when one is serving a 6-year term, dealing daily with 99 other strong personalities. The United States Senate is a venerable institution. It is also a potentate with 100 fiercely protected fiefdoms. No, let me amend that, as they say in this place. In terms of volatility, behind all of its courtesies, the United States Senate is composed of 100 scorpions in a jar, and one should be very careful in deciding how and when to shake that jar.